We are talking with our junior senator for the state of Oklahoma, Senator James Lankford, today. Senator Lankford, let's talk a little bit about a couple of things. One is you've been in communication with our U.S. Trade Representative for the Biden administration, Catherine Tai, in regards to trying to encourage the Iraqis to step up and buy more U.S. wheat, hopefully some of that from the state of Oklahoma as well. Tell me about this letter that you've sent to the ambassador.
Yeah, it's an obvious area where we have an abundance of wheat and they have a need for wheat. We have obviously a growing relationship with Iraq from setting them free from Saddam Hussein and working to be able to get them to have a more open government in the days ahead. So we need to continue that relationship with some basic commodities there, and wheat's one of the prime areas. They need it at this point as they've had a bad year. And we can provide it, and I want to be able to make sure that we can press into that to be able to get wheat to them. So this is one of the basic areas that I push with Catherine Tai and the Biden administration all the time, an expanding number of locations to be able to send our commodities to. We are way over-dependent on China as a major supplier right now, and one of the areas that I push constantly is I don't want to make our country and our prices dependent on one country. We need to have a lot of different markets that are out there and a lot of places we're selling our commodities to have a diversity of supply chain getting out.
I know that you've kind of had an inconsistent relationship with them, but I know that the previous administration, the Trump administration, was able to make some inroads, at least to start that dialogue.
Right. They were, and we should continue to be able to do that again. We can provide what they need. It's just a matter of continuing to be able to work that relationship with them to be able to get that done. And I believe that we can, and I believe that they should at least try to be able to engage on this.
Let's talk about budget reconciliation, if we might. This package seems like it's going to kind of steamroll through the U.S. House in the fairly near future, the $3.5 trillion package that Ms. Pelosi has been desperately wanting. Will it make it through the Senate? What's the prospect at this point from your current vantage point?
Yeah, that's a great unknown still. That obviously, the leadership and Biden says he wants it. He thinks his legacy is dependent on it. And Biden and his staff have been focused on being what they call an FDR-like presidency. They want to do the largest, most historic entitlement bills that have ever been done in the history of the country. And that's what this would be. It's an enormous shift on issues like climate. It's an enormous shift in our entitlement term. The obligation of $3.5 trillion is only over a few years. If you stretch it out to the normal 10-year window, it's almost $6 trillion in spending. So it is an enormous amount of tax and spending that's put into this bill. And I'm not sure the Democrats are going to be able to get it done with such narrow majorities. If only a few of the more moderate Democrats in the House, or just even one of the moderate Democrats in the Senate, were to say, this is just too weighty, this is not the right direction to go, then the whole thing falls apart. So we're looking for a few and continue to be able to engage in those relationships to be able to encourage just some common sense thinking on it.
This is, of course, basically what they're floating as the budget for fiscal year 2022. That in itself is problematic, right?
It is, actually. It's interesting. They float this as the budget for 2022, but they also have not done any of the appropriation work. Chuck Schumer and the Democrats in the Senate have not done a single appropriation bill for this coming year. There are 12 bills that need to be done by the September the 30th, but they've not even brought them to committee yet. And so that they're not going to be done, which leads us to 2 weeks from now, another government shutdown cliff time period, where we don't know if we're going to have another government shutdown or not, because they haven't brought the different bills even to the committee to be able to work through the process. I have a bill that's a bipartisan bill, by the way, to be able to end government shutdowns and take that threat off the table entirely. That would be very simple if we get to the end of the fiscal year and the appropriations work is not done. We'll just continue the budget on with last year's budget. And so the American people are held harmless and federal workers can continue their task. But members of Congress and our staff can't leave Washington, D.C. We've got to be in session every single day, 7 days a week, until the appropriation bills are done. So the goal of it is if you haven't finished your homework on time, you've got to stay after school and you've got to finish your homework. It's a pretty straightforward proposal. It has bipartisan support, and I hope to be able to get that done. But I'd like to not have another government shutdown. We've had 21 government shutdowns in the last 40 years, and all of them cost the federal taxpayer quite a bit of money.
Let's finally talk about this just incredible amount of conversation regarding vaccines, the mandates that the Biden administration has put out there. What's going to happen on this? Will the courts step in and derail this plan of the Biden administration?
Yeah, the courts will step in and prevent the Biden administration from imposing these mandates. We're also working on legislative options to be able to help shut this down and block it entirely. Obviously, we've got to get that through Speaker Pelosi and Chuck Schumer to be able to do that. But I think we're going to have support on both sides of the aisle not to be able to impose this kind of mandate on the American people. Listen, the American people have personal responsibility. They can choose to be able to do what they want to do for their own personal good on this. But they're also ignoring the basic science that's out there. Individuals, and there's 40 million of them that have already had COVID and have recovered from COVID, those individuals have natural immunity. And to try to require those individuals to be able to take a vaccine on top of their existing natural immunity just doesn't coincide with basic science. And so we're trying to be able to say, if you're a cancer patient, if you have leukemia, if you have all these other things, you're very careful on what you put in your body. Some people have religious objections. Some people have already had COVID and recovered from it, so they don't want to take another vaccine on top of their natural immunity. All those things are reasonable. And President Biden currently is just trying to ignore all of it and to say, everybody's got to go get this because I want you to. But that's just not the way that it works when you're president of the United States. You can encourage, you can tell people this is a thing to be able to do, but we should not and cannot do national mandates like this.
Thank you, Senator. Senator James Lankford. And I'm Ron Hayes on the radio, Oklahoma Ag Network and OklahomaFarmReport.com.